Blog Talk Radio.
Something happened to me last Thursday when I was driving home. I had a couple of miles to go. I looked up and saw a glowing orange object in the sky to the east. It was moving very irregularly. Suddenly, there was intense light all around me. When I came to,
Surrounding Seeking Universe, took a couple weeks vacation here in West Virginia, enjoying the scenery, enjoying the mountains. We have a great show tonight. It's part five of the Reptilian Draconian Connection, a nice series that we've done involving reptilians and what the future holds. Let's bring on a show favorite, Matt Rush.
Hello.
Good evening. Hey.
Yeah, hi. Just making sure you can hear me.
Oh, yeah, everything's clear. I'm using a landline tonight, so everything should, besides the dog barking in the background, everything should be crystal clear.
Okay. Well, yeah, we covered a lot of ground in our last four shows, but there's other current events and things we can certainly discuss or things that have transpired since then.
I'm interested in hearing about it, man. What's the first thing that you'd like to talk about tonight?
Well, the first thing I wanted to talk about was actually, remember when you had Joe Moncado on a few weeks ago?
Oh, yeah.
And he was talking about the abduction at the mall with me and all those other police and military and the training of the reptilians in the mall for crowd control as part of the mass abduction, which we've discussed since my first appearance. I'm just referencing it briefly for anyone who hasn't heard the others. Even, you should definitely go back and listen to the other programs, though, because we don't want to go over everything I've gone over in four shows. But just to give context on that, the Joe said the number was up to, what, like 40? 40
yeah.
other people who were taken there now?
Yeah.
That is I mean, that was the number he referenced that have actually informed him of that.
Now, has any current events you've been seeing lately tied into this reptilian draconian connection?
Well, yeah, going back to the mall, going back to the new info he gave in the show when I called into you, to your program, he talked about how they were using these grenades. You remember the sort of shock grenades they throw at people's legs and would cover them in, it looked like they were being covered in fire, but it wasn't burning them. It was more like an electric type fire phenomenon, if you remember from that show a couple weeks ago, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Now, I remember thinking when he said that back in research since then that it's actually an electrical phenomenon which can be reproduced artificially with a Tesla coil, and it's called St. Elmo's fire. And it happens to ships occasionally. It's also, people see that phenomenon in swamps and that sort of, but if you Google St. Elmo's fire or Will-O-The-Wisp or Tesla coil and St. Elmo's fire, you'll see people simulating. And essentially what those little grenades were like miniature Tesla coils in a tiny, which is not something we have the technology to use per se, but we are... The Taser Corporation does have a 40-millimeter grenade, possibly 30. You know, there's two formats for grenade launchers, 37 and 40. But it's a non-lethal grenade, a shock grenade that sticks to you. And it's sort of the same principle. And I have to wonder, did they get the idea from that sort of joint operation between the reptilians and the military at the time to use shotgun grenades on people. And it's funny that, you know, he, about how they were specifically only using these things on people who were being troublemakers or being difficult. And they were using them on the people who were penned in to those stores where they brought down the rolling shutters. And you can go back and listen to, you know, anyone who's listening to this, go back in the archives and listen to Joe Montalvo's show to get more details on that. But I just wanted to sort of explain, you know, reconcile when he's talking about a fire that burns you, but it's sort of shocking you, that would be what it was. So those are technically like little Tesla coil grenades they were throwing. And of course, in my experience with the reptilians, they had those backpack weapons at the same mall where they hit you with the indirect fire. You know, they'll shoot a garbage can, they'll shoot a lamppost. It won't do a lot of damage. It'll barely even scratch the surface, but it showers you with the sparks and the heat and the light. And I've talked before, and I just got to reiterate, that's where the legends of fire-breathing dragons come from. And of course, these little grenades that cover you in this sort of, say, an almost fire Tesla shock type of effect, that also adds to the whole dragon mythology. But when you're talking dragon mythology, you're really talking about the military cast of the reptilians and the encounters with them when people run into them near cave entrances that they're guarding, when they're guarding the entrance to an underground base. And no one would really get past them. Well, that was the, that kind of molded the image of the dragon as being very ferocious and intense and using these, you know, breathing fire at you. And but sort of segueing into current events, you know, there's a lot of things since we talked last. There was the Jade Helm, which was scheduled, you know, far in advance. But there was a development where they shut down five separate Walmarts across the South. And you probably heard about that yourself, and I sent you the article on it. I wrote an article on it, too, for Phantoms and Monsters with Lon Strickler, and that was called Jade Helm, Eminent Domain, Jade Helm, Reptilians. But anyways, without having to make someone listen, go and read an article, let me just describe. These five Walmarts were shut down with, like, 24 hours notice in different states, and they claimed it was all because of plumbing problems for 6 months. The duration of shutdown. One of these was one of the most patronized popular Walmarts in the country. So, you know, people were saying, well, it's because they're not economically doing well, so they had to shut down some stores. Well, no, that doesn't make sense because some of the stores they shut down were doing fine. And the essentially, when they shut those stores down, I do believe internally they're using them. The reptilians were using them as training grounds like they used at mall. It gives them a big open space. It lets them simulate taking over a store, taking over a shopping center. Because essentially in a lot of areas of the country, your local Super Walmart is your shopping mall. And, you know, it branches out from the same kind of anti-looting, you know, securing that type of facility training they were doing in my abduction, or the mass abduction that Joe talks about as well. I didn't mean to go for so long without letting you get a word in edgewise, but...
No, please, I enjoy hearing you talk, especially about this. Now, these Walmarts, it's getting shut down, Matthew. Do you think that what they are being used for with the reptilians, and what do you think they'll be used, or do you think that they'll be turned into like maybe a prison style camp, or maybe, you know, they talk about the FEMA camps and stuff like that. Do you think that that will be the Walmart? Do you think that the Walmarts across the country could be turned into these camps or shelters for us to be placed in or holding areas?
Well, the reptilians are specifically keyed in on things like malls and shopping centers because even going back to the Legends of Dragons, even going back to ancient Sumeria, look at those Sumerian statues of reptilians wearing that nice jewelry, the nice clothing. Many military forces throughout our history were very focused on pillaging, on going in, taking an asset. I mean, during the fall of the Roman Empire, when all those tribes came in and sacked Rome, they were specifically there. They had specific shopping lists. They wanted this amount of gold, this amount of spices, and if you gave it to them, they left. And they even set up scales and everything. You're going to give us this. We're not going to leave till you pay us this amount. And a lot of them had been mercenaries for the Romans, so that's why they felt they were owed money. But if you look at the great Vikings and everything, you know, the image of the Vikings, the berserkers and whatnot, the Vikings were very fast, very sleek. They went in, they hit areas, they pillaged, they looted what they wanted, and they got out. And that's true of, you know, Mongolians, all these great empires throughout history.
Also, Matthew, the pirates, you know, especially in the out there on the East Coast and stuff like that, the pirates were also like that, just very, like, in and out, like a robbery, so to speak.
Well, in this sense, what the reptilians would do is come in, when they take over these shopping centers and turn them into facilities for themselves and bases, just like in Iraq, when we invaded Iraq, we turned Saddam's palaces into bases, and in World War II, you know, we turned a lot of Hitler's nice mansions and palaces into bases. It's the same principle of taking something, yeah, you're converting it into a base and a facility, but you're also getting the benefit of the nice things inside there. I mean, there's a case in Mufan just reported recently where a woman had, during an abduction, she had a nice watch on, and this reptilian's in her bedroom, and she's thinking, like, man, you know, I hope he doesn't take my watch. And, you know, he keys in on the fact that the watch is expensive, and he just takes it right off her wrist. And this is something, I mean, a lot of people have seen reptilians. I've talked about this in their past shows. A lot of people have seen male and female reptilians wearing jewelry, wearing armor with jewelry-type highlights, wearing things like knives that have jewelry in the handle or jeweled highlights or gold highlights or silver. And they are a kind of an avaricious society to a certain extent. I think a lot of that, too, is just cultural. They don't wear a lot of clothing. So what little clothing they do wear, I mean, in some cases, they're wearing nothing but the jewelry, or they're wearing nothing but a nice knife on their belt or a nice sword or an armor plate. So it increases, when you wear very little clothing, that sort of increases your motivation to have what little clothing you have or what item you're wearing to be as nice as possible. They are very... And, of course, you know, the legends of dragons being greedy, having treasure troves, you know, taking even back to the Beowulf legend of the dragon where it freaked out because one of its goblets was stolen. Like, it had all this treasure and one item was stolen. And that even worked into, like, the, what was that, the Hobbit, all the Middle-earth books and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
That I never really got into. But he... I mean, this our mythology, you know, like Ancient Aliens, a lot of these shows, they go into ancient Sumeria, they go into South America, Central America, ancient India, China, talk about the reptilians back then, but they kind of skip over the dragon period in the Middle Ages, where...
Oh, yeah. It was on all the family crests.
Equally...
You know, all the families on the coat of arms... family crest and stuff like that, the people with the predominant power and people that was really powerful in them days always had a dragon on the shield.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the family crest thing is a, you know, a lot of these reptilians underground, they also display family crests of families up here on the surface that they're related to, like certain royal families. One of them was Orm, or this Ormsby line of the Vikings. And I think I talked about that in a previous show, but just to go over real fast. He was this great Viking warrior, got his leg cut off in battle, and then as a joke, when they arrived back on land, he threw his leg onto the land to say he was, you know, the first to set foot on the land. But when you look at that legend, physiologically, that's not something a normal human back then should have been able to survive, having their leg cut off. So, yeah, this guy was some kind of hybrid. A lot of great warriors from history. Charlemagne. A lot of these guys just had very inhuman characteristics and did a lot of things normal humans shouldn't be able to do. And so, yeah, these family lines, some of them specifically have those dragons in the crest because they're telling you they have reptilian DNA or they're related to certain reptilian lines. I know, like, Joe Montaldo has talked about that as well, how the reptilians specifically abduct people from their own genetic line that they're related to. And he's not the only, you know, a lot of researchers talk about that as well. And, yeah, they've been here a long time, and the interbreeding goes both ways. There's reptilians underground who are like 90% reptilian, but they're like 10% human, and they still, you know, they're really into their mythology of whatever human they're related to. But getting back to the to Jade.
Now, Matthew, let me see. Let me get the number out in case somebody wants to call and ask you a question regarding the. This reptilian question or what have you. If you want to call in, the number is 347-850-1258. Matt and I would like to hear from you. Go ahead. Please continue.
Well, getting back to the whole how to size the Jade Helm and military operations, we know modern militaries don't do a lot of open looting anymore. Now, the Russians did when they invaded Georgia several years. They pulled the same thing that they just pulled in Ukraine, but they did it in Georgia. They said, oh, this country's in collapse. We need to go in and step in and stabilize it. And then they did the same thing in Ukraine. But when they did it in Georgia, there's footage of, you could look at footage of Russian troops looting all sorts of things, looting office buildings, looting anything they could find. And it's funny that the pretense they used in both these invasions was sort of the same pretense the reptilians have for stepping in and taking these malls or taking shopping centers, that they'd come in the event of severe looting or instability. And I absolutely do think, economically, the way things are going, I mean, we have labor participation in this country at a 38-year low. The gap between the rich and the poor in the U.S. is greater than any country on Earth right now. Wages haven't gone up for 10 years. There's economically, we're basically in a full-blown depression right now. And they try and cover it up, and they try to, you know, the TV news, it focuses on San Francisco, it focuses on New York. There's only a few cities in the country with booming economies, very small areas in those cities. And the rest of the country is economically in serious trouble. And a lot of people, until recently, you know, the only thing keeping people from realizing this was the stock market being so stable. And, of course, in the last few days, it's given back almost 2 years of gains. If you bought the stock market at the end of 2013, you know, December 27th, you're sitting where you were back then. You've made nothing, especially in the Dow. So we're kind of headed for disaster. China's a train wreck right now. China's economy is completely imploding. Europe's economy is a total joke. They don't know how to fix it. And the U.S. also. So what's scary about that is normally when one region of the world has a problem, the region that's doing okay will lend the other region money. You know, the Chinese have been buying bonds for years. The Fed many times has helped Europe out with swap lines under the table. But right now we're all in trouble. So if you got China and Europe and the U.S., and no one has any money, and we can all barely keep things together, then there's no one to beg from. You can't beg from the next guy because everyone has problems right now. So it does set up a very profoundly bad economic circumstance. And a lot of it is just because of automation. You know, it's destroying factory jobs by replacing everyone with robots. It's destroying customer service and retail jobs. I mean, the retail industry in this country is dying. The big box retailers, the medium box retailers. If you're a service clerk or working in sales, it's Amazon is destroying you. I mean, they have 1 hour free delivery now in my neighborhood. and that's spreading all over the country. No one can compete with Amazon shipping things from China and then direct to your door at basically undercutting everyone by 40%. And it's just, it's horrifying. And people think, well, then we'll all work for Amazon. Okay, Amazon doesn't need many people actually working for it. Their warehouses are automated like crazy right now. They have a few people you will need to work at a Google, a Facebook, a Netflix, and Amazon versus how many people that the companies serve. It's so tiny. It's just a few thousand people in each circumstance, and yet everyone's using these for all their commerce, all their entertainment, all their communications. And that is a big problem where you're just going to have, we first saw this in Southern Europe, like, wow, there's just masses of people with no employment, no stable employment, and then you get a really overvalued housing market in this country. And it's funny, you know, in the, trying to remember his name, right, David Eckhart, and his reptilian abductions, which Lon Strickler has done a very good job of documenting all the evidence there, the video, the audio evidence. The reptilians were telling him years ago they could not believe how oversized houses were for humans, like in America. Like, our houses, compared to the reptilian dwellings, are so much bigger. Like, the average middle-class house for a human up here, for a reptilian, that would be the size of a really important, super wealthy reptilian would have the same size house as a middle-class human. And it's sort of this weird culture we built in this country of everyone needs a huge yard and four bedrooms. And you have a lot of baby boomers now, empty nesters, like in the Northwest Side, where you got a four-bedroom house and you got 2 60-year-olds living there. And it's like, what the hell? Why don't you keep printing money and bailing out all these people with all this wasted extra space that does nothing? It's just a complete resource drain. And that's why, by the way, all of Northern Illinois is bankrupt. I mean, not just Chicago. Chicago's terminally bankrupt in more debt than Greece, but all of Northern Illinois. And how that ties into the reptilians, of course, is, you know, they have this scenario where they will step in and take things like stores and shopping centers in the event they have to counteract severe looting or instability. And a lot of things point to the fact that we will see that here.
Especially with the racial divide and everything else in this country right now. I mean, it's like everybody against everybody anymore, and everybody for themselves, all for nothing days, almost.
Well, the organized Black Lives Matter movement now has an open manifesto came out today. It's like called Project Zero or something, where they basically want to run the police. They're going to come in, destroy the police unions, give a total oversight. The community, you know, quote unquote, is going to manage the police. And I agree with some of the principles in there, like the body cams especially. I mean, there's no excuse not to have body cams. That is a dumb, I mean, all these cops arguing against body cams, no excuse at all. They're cheap, they're durable, they're like $200. But the other demands that they have are just, I mean, right now police morale is really low because if you get in an incident, you're going to end up on the news, that your life's going to be destroyed, you're going to get sued because you made some mistakes.
Prime example, there was a situation the other day where a policeman pretty much got beat up really good and pistol whipped by a guy because he didn't want to shoot a man, and then for it to be all in the news and stuff, and then ultimately he was laying in a pool of his own blood.
Yeah, I did see that incident. The thing is, the point to it overall is that the legitimacy of the police in this country is under complete attack. And I don't know, it seems to be getting kind of really organized. And what's really surreal about it is the number one figure in the Black Lives Matter movement is, you know, the Sean King. It's come out that the guy's white. Now, he claims that his mother told him that she had an affair with a light-skinned black guy, but he doesn't want anyone to talk to his mother. You have to listen to it through him because his mother is quote-unquote elderly. She's not senile. He just doesn't want anyone That's where the head, and I didn't originally think the Black Lives Matter movement was being run with some kind of like a Trojan horse or government operation. But now seeing that, you know, this weirdness of how does this guy get to the top when he's not even black and he's running the operation and he's stealing money from donations and things. Yeah, he's untouchable. Like, no matter what people find on him, you can't take him down. And that does imply someone is looking out for him and this whole thing is being planned. Because you have to destroy the legitimacy of the existing police to justify paramilitary police or foreign troops, or in this case, reptilians. That's right. You know, in that new Jurassic Park movie, it repeatedly keeps coming up. So the villain in the movie, played by Vincent D'Onofrio, you know, he wants to use trained raptors instead to replace soldiers on the battlefield. And it's kind of absurd in the movie because they're not like enhanced raptors, they're just regular raptors, and they want to train them to replace soldiers. But that is, it's just weird they would insert that plot line even in there.
Even with the main character interacting and fighting or training beside the the raptors and stuff like that, I just thought that was kind of odd. Like they were having like the dinosaurs and the humans being like on the same team fighting side back to back, like a Chuck Norris movie. I just thought that was kind of strange.
Yeah, it was. There is a lot of subtext to that. You know, originally in the plot to that movie, you can look this up, it was going to be about the dinosaur human hybrids they were creating for the same purpose. And they dumped that plot idea. You can still find the concept art and, you know, elements of the script. But they kind of. So originally it was way more blatant on that. I'm not saying reptilians are, like a lot of people think, well, reptilians are being engineered by the government somewhere and they're not real. They were just, you know, some Nazi experiment or some biological experiment to simulate them and we made people think they're aliens. Well, no, there's actual reptilian aliens that abduct people all the time. You can go through MUFON, you can go through any research group there. Yeah, it's like when people attack David Icke or they attack certain researchers, it doesn't matter because this is a phenomenon bigger than any one researcher. And it goes back through all human history. And it really goes back to, and Joe Montalto's done a very good job of pointing out that in the early years of humanity, it was the reptilians teaching humans more than the Greys, more than the Nordics. In fact, if you look at early human history in Sumeria and China and ancient India, it was just the reptilians teaching people. That was the only race teaching people everything. And I talked about on the last show, you know, they're hierarchical, reptilians are very hierarchical, feudalistic society, but the good side of that is it gave them a good feeling to be teachers, to be in control, to be dominant, to be telling people what to do. And the other races didn't have that motivation. You know, when Greys teach people, they get frustrated. And they tell people that all the time. Same thing in Nordics. They're kind of frustrated by us. Reptilians are frustrated too, but they get that hierarchical good feeling of being the smartest one in the room, the one surrounded by WK people who's telling you what to do.
But you worry, Matt, where do you think that talked about a lot, but that missing link, maybe that's why they were so, they was willing to level with us because we are a part of them in essence.
We're not, a little bit, yeah, we do, like, there's bloodlines that have reptilian DNA in them, but the difference between humans and the cave.
Our glands, you know, our brain works reptilian and all this other stuff, but go ahead.
The difference between humans and the cavemen that were here before the reptilians came is about as big as the difference between wolves and dogs. It's a very small difference. So it's not like, it is a difference, but the wolf's dog, it's not, you know, a big leap. So they did domesticate us to a certain extent and breed us, you know, to be smarter, just like we did with dogs. But they didn't, you know, create us from the ground up or engineer, you know, everything. So, I mean, that's why things like the paleo diets work so well. And paleo exercise and paleo shoes and all this crap. It works well because we are still basically cavemen. We weren't just, you know, engineered. You know, all these people say, well, humans are actually aliens from another planet, and we're, you know, we forgot how intelligent we were, and we built everything and lost it. No, that's there's human-like aliens, yes, and they're smart, but that's not us. And if it was, a lot of this paleo health crap wouldn't work. If we were that civilized for that long, that people say, you know, our diet would be more adapted to cooked foods. It'd be more adapted to eating grains and bread. We wouldn't have celiac disease and all this crap that we basically have because we are not that terribly evolved. We're not as evolved as we think we are.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
So basically, you know, the human species thinks more of itself than what it really is.
And there's a lot of that in the UFO community, that notion that humans were either created, totally engineered from the ground up by something. That's not true. You know, slightly modified, bred a little bit, yeah, but not that much modification. I'm one of the people, and there's a lot of people who believe this as well. I mean, Sasquatch basically... humans split off from the Sasquatch. That's a form of humanity that we were all like that at one point, and we kind of, you know, a fork in the road, we went this way and then went that way, and they're about as intelligent as us, but they're, you know, they don't have those hunting instincts. They're more gatherer, and we went a bit more hunter on the gatherer spectrum, chasing after things, skinning them, and sweating because we're always chasing after things that are running away from us with our spears. They're just sort of slowly doing it the other way. But that's a deep topic, origin of humans and the whole generation of where people came from. But yeah, I do think people read into it too much. And some of that too, like the whole Christian backlash against evolution, which I just absolutely do not get that at all, because there's no prophet that wrote the book of Genesis, the first books of Genesis, the earliest books. That was not some, you cannot name the Jewish prophet that wrote those. It was passed along as a legend. There's no one who signed their name at the bottom. I witnessed this. I was told by this angel on this date. And yet you see people quoting word for word the first books of Genesis. Who are you quoting? What prophet? Oh, I don't know, an Israeli sheep herder. I don't know. I get quoting the later books because you have this prophet on this date said this to me. I get that. But the early books, you cannot be quoting something where you can't even tell me who the hell wrote that. So, but getting away from... spiritual debates. More current events. What else? Okay, oh, the Ferguson thing. The delegitimization of the current police. And then that opens up the gates to bring in something else. And we know the reptilians, like many forces throughout human history, great warriors and great armies, very adept at looting or foraging, as Sun Tzu said in The Art of War. And it's funny, if you read The Art of War, he talks about how you cannot have a successful army unless you're adept at going in and foraging off the enemy, which is essentially kind of looting. It's like you have to do it, he basically says. And I saw an interview tonight with Donald Trump where he's saying he wants to go into Iraq, take the oil money, and then give it back to the soldiers and the wounded soldiers. And That's funny because that's kind of the concept the reptilians have in taking over these facilities and taking over malls and shopping centers. The notion that when they arrive on site, they're getting paid that day. So they have more motivation. They have to wait to get paid later. They're getting the jewelry. They're getting things like purses, which I know David Eckhart's talked about seeing female reptilians underground with designer purses from the surface. And other people have seen them with pianos, multiple reptilian abductees. I've seen reptilians taking brand, like, nice-looking pianos.
A grand piano.
Well, just like things that we create by hand.
Nice stuff. Nice. Like, so basically, reptilians are very materialistic.
Well, there's certain things that we create by hand, like vases, like paintings, like rugs, like pianos, that as an advanced race, a reptilian can't go and hit a button and have a factory 3D print it. I mean, to this day, you go out and buy a nice piece of furniture, 99% of that furniture is made by hand, and even in 2015. So that's true of good musical instruments. That's true of a lot of things, where if it isn't made by hand, there is no machine that can stimulate that artisan craftsmanship. And we know reptilians appreciate that kind of craftsmanship because you see it in their armor, in their swords and the knives they like to carry, in the kind of nice woven cloaks, the hooded cloaks they wear. They really appreciate handmade nice things and that sort of handmade element to it. I mean, Ken Bakeman, I've talked about his abductions before. He ran into this high-ranking Draco in Northern California who had a base there, but it was disguised as an ostrich ranch. And he had female, so these dinoid-type reptilians that he was basically breeding humans with them and selling the eggs, effectively to our own military. But that aside, this guy, this Draco reptilian, he had all these guards. He had some really nice surplus military hardware, like transport-type jeeps, you know, those canopy, those types of trucks with the canopies that you can't even buy on, like, the civilian market usually. That's a funny thing, too. A lot of people see reptilians with surplus U.S. military equipment that they could not, that you can't even get on the regular civilian market, jeeps and guns and crates and all sorts of things like that, which is common because we're dumping that crap on the Syrian rebels that are working for us. We're dumping all sorts of hardware on them. We've been doing this around the world for years, where if you're working with us, we just send you crates and crates of shit where you're literally just piling it up. And anyways, this one Draco had access to, you know, all these state-of-the-art weapons, but the weapon he chose to carry around with him was this lever action. It looked like, you know, like a 45-70 or a 30-30. I'm thinking probably it was a 45-70 lever action rifle. And he carried that, and he had these two bandoliers of ammo he wore. And it was like, well, of all the things, I'm sure he had access to those laser backpacks I've seen reptilians use. These men had, you know, state-of-the-art AR-15s and whatnot. But he's carrying this old model 1894 type lever action rifle. You know, and that's not unusual to see reptilians carry things that seem kind of out of date because they appreciate the craftsmanship in them. So they are, you give a reptilian a high-end mall, and here's the thing, people say, well, malls are dying in this country. Yes, middle-class malls. High-end malls in this country, like any mall from the Apple store, have never been doing better because of the hyper-concentration of wealth. You could look this up on Google News. So you give some reptilians a high-end mall to seize, there's so many things on the shelves that they could take. I'm not saying they're going to take everything, but it's like an immediate bonanza of payment to them, which also motivates them and kind of makes them do a better job. It's sort of a immediate gratification type of thing if they have all these things like jewelry and vases and nice rugs or designer purses or everything else that you export. I mean, it used to be, I mean, for years, we used to have, you know, the China trade, where you'd have this nice porcelain type of dishes and things that people would ship all the way from China. And there's still a lot of people who have that heirloom China they inherited. And it's same thing for reptilians and Earth. You know, Earth is a producer of fine-crafted handmade goods. And that is, you know, kind of how, that's sort of the thing that we can do well, that, well, we can't make the best technology, obviously, we're still behind there, but we can make a handmade, crafted item better than anyone, because that's what that's what primitive societies do, and you kind of grow out of that as a society, like the artisan skills are, I mean, look at what the Amish can do. You know, you've seen Amish furniture and all these things they can build with their hands, a lot of them.
Great stuff, you know, like lasting stuff. Nothing made from China, it's going to break the same day, you know.
Right, but a lot of humans are losing that skill. I mean, the reason places like Chipotle and Jimmy John's are doing so well is because as we're going generationally down the line lately, people are forgetting how to cook. In fact, the only part of the economy that's doing well are overpriced restaurants and carryout places, because we have generations of kids now that just can't even cook a basic meal for themselves. So they'll go pay someone $8 to make them a burrito or $8 to make a sandwich. Now, I would, you know, 20 years ago, you would have been laughed at charging $8 for a ham sandwich. Now people will go, oh, okay. Yeah, and it's...
They're like, or the $10 at the Starbucks just for one person. You know, you might as well just go to Starbucks and give them the $10 bill just right there for a beverage, caffeinated beverage, mind you.
So you could imagine advanced societies like the reptilians not having a tradition anymore of being able to weave nice cloaks or make purses or make musical instruments or vases or carpets or rugs or furniture, because it only takes it like two generations to completely lose a skill, you know, to completely, I mean, how many people do you know that can make a candlestick or make a guitar or make a drum set with their hand? I mean, yeah, there's a few, but it's one of those things where if you don't spend years learning it, you'll lose it like that in one generation.
Yeah,
but
and humanity loses because they lose sight on how to create things with that. It's just like putting less into stuff, you know, and just like, but losing the ability to something that we once mastered. We got about a minute left, Matt, whatever you want to get out in that little time, but we'll definitely be doing a part six soon. I can promise you that.
Okay, well, I encourage people to go back and listen to the other shows I've done. My SoundCloud page is SoundCloud Panama Orange, where I have an interview there back from December. I did for an hour and a half on Darkness Radio. And I've got other things like other interviews, an interview where Joe Montado is talking about the mass abduction with the crowd control training at that mall, with including me, and Twitter, Panama Orange, where I mostly talk financial things and day trading and things like that. But I'm just putting that out for more info. And, of course, you go back to the archives of this show, you can find the other series we did before this, leading up to this. And it's, I think we should probably give it a few months because I've covered so many things. I've covered so many things in the last few shows that, like, I was looking at my notes before this show. I'm like, oh my God, what else can I, like, you know? So, anyways, thanks for having me on, though.
We'll figure it out. Well, we might do, me and you might do a current events show where we'll just talk about the current events, but we'll figure something out. Matt, it's always a pleasure, and I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate our audience, and have a great night, my friend.
You too.
Thank you. Thanks. Good night. Reptilians, they exist, and they're out there. It's up to you to believe it. And to not, and to find answers to know their existence. Until next week on Strange Surroundings, Secret Universe.